The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video, it's award-winning John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. And we're talking about precious metals, John. Did you win a gold or what? Silver, bronze? What was it? What was the material?
We were ranked number one for our precious metals forecasting by the London Stock Exchange Star Mine Awards people. And we were ranked number two for our base metals forecasting. This is for last year, by the same London Stock Exchange group. So we're feeling quite chuffed about that. I mean, you know, there are economic groups out there who people pay a lot of money for whose forecasting seems to be slightly off par, but maybe we're just good at it. I don't know.
Well, let's delve into some of that knowledge, John. So you're number one for precious metals. So what's included in precious metals? Obviously gold. What else?
Gold, silver, platinum, silver, and palladium. Yeah.
Okay, so gold has been looking good, isn't it, recently? I mean, we had a pullback. Let me just share this. Let me just share the screen with you. There we go. There we are. Here's gold. So let me get rid of the RSI. I don't need the relative strength index. But you can see there that essentially it's had a cracking run, isn't it? Look at that, from 24 especially, up to 25. It's done, from the start of 24 pretty much, it's done 33% upside. And I think now, even now, after this pullback we had, it hit sort of $2,800, come back down to sort of 25 and a half, and it's now in a range. And I think it won't take much to get above that previous high. I'm saying, what are you saying, John? I'm saying $3,000 I reckon it's going for. What do you reckon?
Well, I think
you are the award winner.
I think the risk is on the upside. You've got people in China buying gold because they don't trust the local banks. They don't trust the government. They can see that there'll be a lot of money printing. I mean, we can see there's going to be lots of money printing all over the world. Donald Trump's going to print a lot of money. President Xi will probably print more money. The UK Treasury or government will print more money, almost certainly. So we can all see that governments need to print cash to bail themselves out and to do the things they want to do. And, you know, when that happens, that's kind of inflationary. But what it means is there's a, you know, effectively everything else is deflated. So gold is a good solid asset to own. So we know the People's Bank of China has been buying gold again. We're pretty sure the Saudi Arabians are still stocking up on gold. Lots of countries would like to break the dominance of the US dollar. And the more they want people to use their currencies, the more gold they feel they need to own.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I've said it for a week. I keep saying on a daily podcast, I talk about gold, and I say, do you know what? I think it's just having a pause, a rest, and maybe for a while, when it does go into range, gold, it tends to stay in a range for a little while. But even here, you can see back in November 23, sort of broke above the previous high, and it was in a range till February, then starting to move higher. So what you need is that line up there at 2800. That'll get an alert when that happens, and that when it breaks that, I think it's on a new run. It may take a few months or so, but yeah, there's no doubt. Every government, I mean, you often get these doom mongers on social media and everything saying debt is going to bring down the world, but and they've been saying it for years and years. But it is worrying, the amount of debt now that governments have, just phenomenal amount of debt, and just also what's also worrying is just, you know, how much it costs to service that debt now, of course. I mean, the government 30-year yield is, at 1998, it hasn't been as expensive as this since 1998. And so governments are struggling, aren't they, to service this debt?
Yeah, it's expensive. And you know, with Trump winning the race for the White House,
yeah,
that means that interest rates look like they're going to stay higher for longer because Trump wants to borrow more money. So US rates have to stay higher, and that means that lots of other central banks around the world don't feel that they can cut rates either. Otherwise, you know, if the Bank of England cut our rates, then the pound would collapse even more than it's already collapsed. So it's very tough on a lot of other countries out there. And okay, the Fed has an eye on how their rates affect the rest of the world. But it is America first right now, and they're not going to risk rising inflation in the U.S., particularly with Trump coming in, by cutting rates aggressively.
No, and Trump doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that worries about debt too much. I mean, you know, he's had businesses that have racked up a huge amount of debt and gone through, and so he doesn't really care, does he? He just wants to, he doesn't look at the balance sheet, he just cares about the top line pretty much. So, he's a top line guy.
Well, he understands debt, that's for sure. I bet you he's had a few sleepless nights over the years at the leverage in his property portfolio.
I don't think he has. I remember I read his book years back. He was an amazing marketer. I mean, here I am. I'm not living there anymore, but a young guy in South Wales, somehow I got my hand on his book. This was before the internet. I think it was The Art of the Deal. I can't remember. But I remember him saying in that he was owing, at that time, it was something like $200 million he owed to the banks. And he was stepping out with Ivana Trump for a posh meal. And there's a guy on the sidewalk there with a tin in his hand begging. In the tin was about $20 or something like that. And Trump said, see that guy there? He said, he's got $230 million and $20 more than I have. And he said, I'm wearing a £1,500 suit and a $2,000 coat as well, and we just come out of a nice restaurant. And he classically said, you know, when you owe like £50-100 quid to the bank, it's your problem. You know, when you owe them $200 million, it's their problem. So he doesn't really care. You know,
it's a different sort of problem to have.
Yeah, exactly. He said the banks. Fair enough. I think in the end he did sell one of his planes or something. But he said, do you really want to take over the business that I've been running for ages and know everything about real estate? Or do you want me to do it? So it's up to you. You know, so that's you know, you owe $200 million to a bank and they're really worried about it. You know, and he knows more about this. That's exactly what he's, I don't think he feels any pressure like that. I mean, you know, he doesn't care. And let's be honest, how old is he now? He's getting on, he doesn't really care anymore, does he? You know, you think, so what? I've got my legacy. Fine. Okay, so by the way, of course, what drives a lot of these commodities prices is China. They gobble up sort of half the world's commodities when they're in good form. But we have some news out today on GDP, house prices, GDP, all that stuff. And look at that, actual 5.4%, this is year-on-year quarter four, 5.4% above, smashing the forecast of 5%, and up from 4.6. The thing is, do we believe this, John?
Well, I think the US Treasury Secretary, who's coming in under Trump, he doesn't believe it. He seems to think that China is either in recession or is heading into depression. Yeah. Now, yeah, we know that China has the ability to manipulate the figures. We know that lots of Communist Party officials perhaps might manipulate some of the numbers. Capital Economics, who are a good forecasting group, they always seem to come out with a GDP figure that's somewhat lower than the official Chinese numbers. But there's a lot of moving parts in the Chinese economy. You know, you can look at stuff that's not doing well, but you'll find other regions where there are industries that are doing much better. So it's really, really hard to know. What we do know, though, is the Chinese property market is still in trouble. They're still not selling lots of those unsold apartments in the you know, those thousands of apartment blocks that look a bit empty. There's even a whole city somewhere that's still maybe only 10% bought, which was planned by President Xi some years ago. We know that out of 300 vehicle manufacturers, because China has a lot of car companies, which most of whom are not known in the West, out of the 300, we think only about 50 currently survive, according to the CEO of Zhengpeng. Again, another car company. It's quite a big one, but most people haven't heard of it. You may well have heard of BYD. They are doing very well. They're profitable. But most of the others we think are not. And in fact, we should be able to get all the profit and loss numbers here. It's just a question of pulling it together. But we think the CEO of Zhengpeng thinks that this huge list of 300 companies will get whittled down to about 7. They talk about the car market in China being brutal. We know that the Chinese authorities are stimulating local demand for electric vehicles because it's such a big thing for them. And I dread to think how much money has been wasted in that market. But China is really keen to sell a lot of these EVs abroad. BYD is able, they're authorized to sell into the US. I think many of them are probably not. It's going to be a very interesting world. And the question is, what is the impact on China Inc. as a result of lots of these companies either consolidating or going bust?
Yeah. Well, I don't, yeah. But they seem to operate on their own rules, don't they? I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know how it works. Does people buy government bonds in China? I don't understand what, no one really knows what they're doing. They can manipulate those financial systems as much as they want over there. It's like, debt could be a lot worse than we think. We don't know, do we? You know, it's like.
Well, we know that they bailed out what was called hidden debt within the local regional authorities. Mm-hmm. And the number was huge. I think it was about $10 trillion. Or dollars. It was a big number. I forget what it was, but certainly they've already bailed that out. Now the question is, have they bailed all of it, or is there still more? Is there still more of a bailout that is required? We noticed the Chinese currency also pulled back a bit. Now the People's Bank of China manipulates the currency to some degree. They allow it to trade within certain trading bands. It's possible that might weaken further, and this again is a reason why Chinese residents have been buying gold because they see that the currency is likely to weaken further.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing they can rely on, isn't it? So it's like they know this precious metal. It's been around for a long time, and it'll still be around for a long time. So it's like, what can they trust? They can't trust real estate anymore. They're very wary of the stock market. And so gold they can trust. But there we are. That's the Hang Seng index there. Shot up on that Chinese stimulus boost end of October. Unbelievable move for an indices. What did it do? It did 35% in a few sessions for an indices. And now it's come back down. It's from the high here, it's come down back to, it's dropped like 15%. So, yeah. But okay, so let's look at some individual companies, John. What do you want to look at?
Well, I thought we'd start with 80 Mile PLC. They have
80 Mile PLC. Remind us now.
They've been exploring for hydrogen and helium in Greenland and Finland. But as part of that, shall we say, new strategy of the group, They're also acquiring a industrial gases plant or a chemical plant in Italy.
This was
Blue Jay Mining.
Yeah.
Run by Rod McGilroy. He's gone back in. He's kicked out the guys that messed up at Blue Jay. And he's taken over. Because, I mean, Rod actually was instrumental in Blue Jay doing very well for a long time. So the refocusing means that they're actually going to They've just acquired 24% of this industrial gases and chemical business, that's going to actually start production this quarter. So they'll have revenues and cash flow. And that's always important for a small company to actually get something started. So they're going to produce things like synthetic aviation fuel and various other industrial minerals. It's just good news.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's 80 mile, 80M is ticker there. Okay, Anglo Asian Mining. So this has been one of those stocks that's done, you know, very well, even in the last year. From October, it's 40 pence. It's now it's 110 a share. And previously, this was a 10 bagger. You know, it's a huge rise from in 2016, it was 5 pence a share. By 2020, it was 175 pence a share. So there may be some latent interest here to see if we can do another rise. What's happening there, John?
I think this has potential to double or treble again. We are no madam broker to this, as we were with 80 Mile. I think the key thing here is that they had a problem last year, which is why the share price came back. They were ordered to stop putting material into the tailings dam while that was checked. There was nothing wrong with the tailings dam, but of course, people downstream were worried about that, and I completely understand their concerns, because in fact there was a dam that broke just upstream of my house in Storm Bertie in November, and so we got flooded as a result of that relatively small river suddenly flowing through our house. But I do understand the issues that these guys might worry about.
And you can't sell that as a feature when you're selling the house. Oh, we've got a river coming through our house there. It's quite nice, isn't it? It's
water. Yeah, no, I'd rather the river stayed where it was supposed to stay.
Yeah.
Anyway, back onto Anglo-Asian Mining. Now they're able to restart using the tailings dam, and they've got plans to have another tailings dam going forwards for new mine development. But they're able to ramp up their gold and their copper production. So gold production is getting back up to where it should be. I mean, it should be doing 60 to 80,000 ounces a year. But they're also transitioning to become a copper producer. And they have a new mine in Azerbaijan. The government has asked them to step in and start mining this mining project. And that will start up, hopefully, towards the end of this year and will add significantly to their copper production.
Okay, marvellous. It's hit a recent high there, 120, pull back a little bit, 110. Next, Metals Exploration, MTL. What's up? Cool, that's not a good run, isn't it?
That's not looking too shabby, is it?
For people on the podcast, it was literally back in, in fact, let's do a year's worth. So in January 24, it was at 2.5 pence. It's now 6 pence.
So if the history of metals exploration is they have a gold mine in the Philippines. And of course, for many years, the Philippines was a difficult place to invest in. And you know, they worked their way through all the issues in the Philippines. They're now producing a substantial amount of gold. They're backed by various investors, including the Candy Brothers. And now they've just acquired Condor Resources. So they now have the La India mine in Nicaragua, or mining project. So they're pushing ahead. In fact, news out today is that they've doubled the expected gold production out of that project going forwards. In fact, it's a doubling of production, but they haven't had to double the throughput in the mining project because the grade's gone up as well. They're going to go for more of the higher grade in an underground mining operation. So That looks like great news. I mean, well done.
Yeah. I always think the Candy Brothers should take over Mr. Kipling or something, or some kind of Cadbury's, you know? Just makes sense, wouldn't it?
All in the name.
The Candy Brothers. It almost sounds sinister in a way. The Candy Brothers could be gangsters, couldn't they? You don't mess with the Candy Brothers, whatever happens. It's a horror film. Anyway, John, is your Orisol?
they're working in Colombia. They had the most spectacular drill result, 77 meters at 7.7 grams a ton. And it's not the only good result. There are other very impressive drill intersections. The deposit needs to get a bit bigger, But of course, drilling will hopefully do that, especially if there's more results of this sort of scale. They recently reacquired the project back from Agnico Eagle and Newmont Mining. And what happened was that Newmont and Agnico don't get on that well in Colombia. They decided to pull out of Colombia, and so they let this project go, which I think was hugely to the benefit of Orosur shareholders. So, yeah, I think this is one to watch.
Okay. And they're only a sub 10 million market cap, 9.45 million market cap.
Yeah, for drill results like that, I mean, definitely there's something you can go and mine with 77 meters at 7.7 grams a ton. I mean, that's, yeah.
What's happened to Codal? That was, back in 23, it rocketed. And it's quite volatile, but it's slowly coming down this downtrend now.
Codal will start production of spodumene, which is the ore for lithium, quite soon. In fact, it's very good quality spodumene ore, which is why they're so keen to get started. Hainan Mining have put $100 million into the joint venture. They have 50%. I say 50% of the joint venture. They recently settled a negotiation with the Mali government. If you remember, the Mali government is a military government. They're having to fight off terrorists in the north of Mali who come out of the Sahel region. Those terrorists are claimed to be linked to Al-Qaeda and that sort of thing. So the Mali government's quite busy fending them off. So the Mali government has rounded up all the mining companies and said, guys, come on, you need to adhere to our 2003 Minerals Act. That means that they had an entitlement to 20%, to take 20% of any mining project in Mali. That's now gone up to 35%, which is a little bit hard. And they also charged a capital gains tax for the transaction where Hainan Mining bought into Codal Minerals. So that was another $15,000, I think. But Codal, they've got cash. They've got $18 million in the bank, or thereabouts. We act as broker to Codal, I should say that. Having settled that with the Mali government, I think they're very well set. They will start production at some point this quarter. I don't know how long. I don't know if we're waiting weeks or a couple of months, but they'll certainly start up soon enough. And they'll get paid a decent price on the spodumene. So looking forward to seeing that.
But do they have to pay 35% royalty on that?
No, it's not a royalty. That's the government share. So what they'll need to do is pay effectively a dividend off that to the Mali government. But
of what is this? Profits or revenue? Or what? How does it work?
To be perfectly honest, I don't think many of the companies have been paying much on these on the stakes of the subsidiaries, and that's one of the problems. Is the government said, "Look, guys, they own 10% of anything that's being mined in Mali, but they haven't really been paid for it." So the Malian government locked up some directors of Resolute Mining, for example, recently. They weren't badly treated. They were just detained from going home for a bit.
Well, I got to say, John, I don't know how luxurious the Mali jails are, but I imagine if you're a director of a company, you're chucked in a jail in Mali, then I'm sure it's a downgrade of your lifestyle.
I think having a mattress is a bonus.
Yeah. No, that's the trouble, isn't it, with mining something? As I say, you've got to be aware, if you're investing in these sectors, in sectors you cover, the jurisdictions can be, like I said, very unstable. I mean, they talk about this, when the Labour government come in here, they've sort of, a stable outlook now. And even over here, they're getting a lot of flack, which, in fact, they rightly deserve. But, it is super stable compared to something like Mali, isn't it?
Well, look, to be honest, if you mess any government around, the ultimate sanction is that they can put you in jail for a bit. And a lot of these companies hadn't been having sensible discussions with the Mali government. And the Mali government saying, look, guys, you've really got to come and settle this. And we've told you what we want.
That's amenable. Look, guys, you really got to settle this. Otherwise, we'd chuck you in jail. Look, guys, come on, guys. Come on now. Let's sit around the table. Otherwise, you go to jail.
Kodal Minerals managed to settle this with the Mali government, and it's not an unreasonable settlement. And they did that without anyone ending up in jail. So you can actually sort things out.
They didn't settle it, so they had to settle it, otherwise they would be in jail. So that's the way it should be over here, really, to be honest. With the, you know, blue collar and white collar crime over here gets away with it. Anything you know, they wouldn't do in Mali. So they're going to start mining this stuff. All right. So there we go. So
very soon.
Okay. Next, Sovereign.
Yeah, Sovereign Metal.
We covered this a while, and I said it's breaking out by the looks of it, and it has broken out nicely. It's starting to move.
No, yeah, it's all going in the right direction at Sovereign. They finished the mining trials. I believe that's all gone really well. I mean, we didn't expect it not to go well, but you never quite know what problems might be encountered as they do these things. I think everybody's very happy with it. We're waiting for the feasibility study to be finished this year. And at some point, Rio Tinto are more than likely to make a bid to buy the business. They're not rushing at it. They don't need to rush. They own a chunk of the company anyway, although it is always possible someone else could try and jump in and snap up the project. But Rio's know more about it than anyone else. They've been doing a huge amount of work on the environmental side of things to make sure that the land is rehabilitated in the right way. And remember, this is rutile, which is an extremely valuable type of titanium mineral sand. It's a titanium feedstock. And there's graphite in there as well. So the graphite is a byproduct, co-product, also with significant value, particularly in the Western world, because you've got China now refusing to sell certain forms of graphite back into the West. So and they control most of the market. So this deposit could become extremely important going forward.
Mm. You know, so have you ever heard of certain mining companies, like gold companies especially, sell their own coins? Have you ever heard of that before?
Well, Scott Gold were looking to do that, but they never quite got there.
I know Hummingbird did that for a while. They can get them out of their own coins. But I think Sovereign Metals have an opportunity. I know they're in gold, but it's just, you know, Sovereign Rings, I think, John.
I don't think you want to buy graphite coins.
No, but Sovereign Rings would be good.
Graphite
Sovereign
pencils,
metals.
Maybe, but not graphite
merchandise coins. On the website. Because I know you like Sovereign Rings, John. If you look at your hands, if you look at some video, every finger on John's hands.
I have
hands,
no pinky rings.
Oh, you take them off now. He was like John McCurrick at one stage. When he's out and about in the town, John's just full of gold. He's like Mr. T. And that's why he won the award for, you know, because he's really, you know, skin deep in gold there. And finally, Power Metals. Pow! His ticker. Share price is struggling a bit here. What's happening?
Well, there's two sides to Power Metals. Firstly, you've got the exploration in the Athabasca Basin in Canada. That's being funded by a group called UCAM. So that, you know, someone else is paying for the exploration. They get a free carry on that. That's great news. They also, it's worth remembering, they own 45% of Guardian Metals, and they've got the Pilot Mountain Tungsten project in Nevada. Now, tungsten, again, is one of these critical minerals that's becoming more and more important as China threatens to withhold these critical minerals. And, of course, you know, we're in a world where people are now producing more military equipment than ever before. And tungsten is particularly important from an armaments perspective. I mean, most people know tungsten as you make ball bearings out of tungsten, particularly for tanks, that kind of, you know, heavy machinery. So tungsten is a critical mineral, and Pilot Mountain is a good project within the USA. So, I think, you know, I mean, the market value of Guardian Metals resources is about £40 million. Power Metals own 45% of it. So effectively, all the value of, well, more of the value of Power Metals, which has a market cap of about £16 million, that's all accounted for within Guardian Metals. So effectively, you're getting that exploration upside in Canada on the uranium projects for free.
Yeah. Blue Jay.
We act 18... for Power Metals, by the way.
Yeah, yes. Well, let's just say you have to write every one of them, just in case. So Blue Jay, which is now 80 Mile. So did you say they still have interest in Greenland?
Yeah, certainly. Well, they've got the hydrogen and helium wells projects in on the east side, but on the west side of Greenland, yes, they've still got the titanium mineral sands up at Dundas. They've still got the exploration joint venture with Cobalt Metals further south. That's looking for a large scale nickel project. And in fact, Anglo American have staked a lot of ground around where the old Blue Jay projects are. And then they've also got something else called Kangalusak further to the south, which has quite good showings of zinc.
Kangalusak. You probably know where I'm going with this, but what happens if Trump decides to acquire Greenland?
Well, if I was a Greenlander, I'd probably be quite happy about it because I would expect Trump to pay quite a lot to acquire Greenland and to particularly invest quite a lot in the nation. I mean, there are the population of Greenland is 58,000 people. I mean, that's not even the population of Cardiff, for example. So, yeah, there's only upside in it as far as I can see.
Yeah. Okay, but they'd all become American corporations then. Like for example, 80 Mile. Well, there'd be complications, wasn't it? Where they're listed? I suppose they'd still be listed. I don't know how it works, but anyway, here we are. But like I say, it'd probably be a positive sign, you know, because he is drill baby drill. So enjoy that. Okay, marvelous stuff, John. Well, have a nice weekend, and we'll speak in a monthy.
Look forward to seeing you.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.